tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The FDA just authorizing the Pfizer vaccine for children 12 to 15 years old. Emergency use authorization tonight for Pfizer to start giving adolescents shots, which will give them time for both shots before the next school year. And could the CDC soon be updating its guidance on masks indoors across this country? And could seasonal masks become reality? Also tonight, our team now on the ground in India, the horror unfolding there. Just as the World Health Organization classifies the Indian variant as a global variant of concern, averaging nearly 400,000 new cases a day in that country. Here in this country tonight, the major cyber attack. Will it affect gas prices, airline fuel, military fuel? The attack targeting America's largest pipeline from Texas all the way up to New Jersey. Tonight, the FBI now confirming a Russian hacking ring behind it and what President Biden is now saying. Pierre Thomas reporting. In New York City tonight, newly released video now of the shooting in New York's Times Square. An officer grabbing a wounded four-year-old child and what the mayor is now saying tonight as the manhunt intensifies. The battle inside the Republican Party, that vote nearing, Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Will she be ousted from her leadership post after standing up to former President Trump, saying Trump's claims the election was a lie are simply not true? And will the public know how Republicans voted on this? The escalation tonight in the Middle East, Hamas firing rockets at Jerusalem for the first time in 7 years. And tonight, Israel now retaliating. Palestinians now reporting more than 20 dead, and Martha Raddatz is standing by. Tonight, waiting for the results, a second test now following the Kentucky Derby after the winning horse, Medina Spirit, failed a drug test. What the trainer now claims, he's had five horses fail drug tests in a year. And America Strong tonight, moms across this country, and the incredible moment signaling we are really starting a new chapter.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we start another week together here. And we begin tonight with that breaking headline. We learned just before we came on the air tonight that the FDA has just authorized the Pfizer vaccine for children now 12 to 15 years old. This means millions of young people will now be vaccinated, and the hope, of course, that both shots will happen well before the next school year. The FDA issuing that emergency use authorization for Pfizer's vaccine for adolescents after the company reported it was 100% effective in that age group with no safety concerns. This marks a major step forward for parents hoping to get the rest of the family vaccinated. And tonight, the numbers here. 150 million Americans have now received at least one dose. That's 58% of all adults. And tonight, could there soon be new guidance on wearing masks? Dr. Anthony Fauci saying as cases come down in the U.S., the CDC will likely look at loosening guidance for masks indoors. Also suggesting the possibility of seasonal masks, depending on what we see with the virus as we move forward. But first tonight, news on that emergency use authorization for Pfizer and adolescents. And ABC's Victor Kendo leading us off tonight from Miami.
Tonight, a major step toward the vaccination of millions of American children.
Oh, that doesn't hurt at all.
The FDA authorizing the Pfizer vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds after the company reported it was 100% effective in adolescents with no safety concerns.
I think these are great news, not only for the young kids, but also for the parents, grandfathers, and for the American society in general. So now we can substantially expand the number of people that will get protected. And particularly, we can go all the way to the entire high school and going down almost all the way to the middle school. So these are very, very good news.
Vaccinating children, critical to reopening schools in the fall. Layla Ferinsky and Isabella Farney volunteered for the trial.
You should do it to help your family, to help your elders, really to do it to keep everyone safe. One day of sickness versus you have versus 2 weeks or,
it could get really sick.
You could get really sick. If everyone's vaccinated, it will help everyone. They'll help the whole world.
With 152 million shots in arms, a new incentive for vaccination. Dr. Anthony Fauci signaling Americans may soon see relaxed guidelines for wearing masks indoors.
We do need to start being more liberal as we get more people vaccinated. As you get more people vaccinated, the number of cases per day will absolutely go down. We're averaging about 43,000 a day. We've got to get it much, much lower than that. When that gets lower, the risk of any infection, indoor or outdoor, diminishes dramatically.
Saying even after the pandemic, Americans may choose to wear masks during certain times of the year, like flu season, to cut the risk of spreading diseases.
I think people have gotten used to the fact that wearing masks, clearly, if you look at the data, diminishes respiratory diseases.
1-5.
And Victor Kendo joins us now from Miami tonight. And Victor, walk us through this new timeline on this news involving the Pfizer vaccine. With the FDA now giving this emergency use authorization, how soon could we see young people, 12 to 15 again, getting this vaccine? And do they receive the same dose, two shots?
David, adolescents will receive the same dose as adults. We expect an independent advisory panel to meet on Wednesday to discuss a recommendation to the public. All indications are the CDC director will sign off and vaccinations could start within days. David?
All right, Victor Kendo leading us off with the breaking news tonight. Victor, thank you. And there is another important headline on the virus tonight. The World Health Organization this evening now calling the Indian variant what they're seeing now in India, and with cases now showing up here in the U.S., they're calling the variant a global variant of concern. Tonight here, our team now on the ground in India, the pop-up clinics on the side of the road, and they are running out of supplies everywhere. ABC's Maggie Rooley tonight in New Delhi.
Tonight, the funeral pyres in New Delhi are still burning.
People here tell us they have never seen anything like this. The fires here at this crematorium have been burning all day and all night for the past few weeks.
The acrid smoke hangs over the city. India suffering an average of nearly 400,000 new cases each day over the past week. Makeshift clinics appearing along the streets, but the responsibility of saving lives falls on volunteers working around the clock in 100-degree heat. Many hospitals are overflowing.
Our hospital is at 90% COVID patients now.
And they're running out of everything.
In this wave, there have been more patients because of the infectivity, demand for oxygen.
Doctors tell us an oxygen tanker that used to last 3 to 4 days is now spent in just 6 hours, and the patients they're seeing are much younger. Experts say vaccines are the key to ending this crisis, but like so much in India right now, they too are in short supply. New Delhi could run out in just days.
I apply for vaccine. Every day I have to apply, but no space.
Many are terrified to even leave their homes.
This is the quietest people say they've ever seen New Delhi. Stores shut down, areas normally packed and vibrant, now totally empty.
One of the country's top medical associations says tonight it's time to expand the lockdown nationwide.
And so let's get to Maggie Rooley. She joins us from New Delhi tonight. And Maggie, I want to get back to that developing headline, the World Health Organization tonight saying that the India variant is now a variant of global concern.
Yeah, that's right, David. WHO is now saying that it looks like this variant may spread more easily, but current vaccines are effective against it. Now, in the U.S., half a dozen states have reported several cases of this variant first discovered here in India. Right now, the CDC says it's a variant of interest, and they're keeping an eye on it. But, David, here in India, we're already seeing the effects. We've been outside this hospital. We've seen ambulances come all day and all night. They're just trying to stay ahead of this surge. David?
Maggie Rooley and her team in India tonight. Maggie, thank you. Now to the other news this Monday night, and here in this country, the major cyber attack. Will it affect gas prices, airline fuel, military fuel? The attack targeting America's largest pipeline, and tonight the FBI is now confirming a Russian hacking ring is behind it. But President Biden is now saying that ring demanding ransom, that pipeline supplying nearly half of all fuel to the East Coast. The company tonight shutting it down while they investigate that pipeline more than 5,500 miles from Texas, as you can see there, all the way up to New Jersey, delivering about 100 million gallons of fuel a day. And could this shutdown soon affect what you pay at the pump? Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight.
Tonight, the nation in uncharted territory with a foreign hack which led to shutting down of the East Coast's largest pipeline for 3 days and counting.
We are preparing for multiple possible contingencies and considering what additional steps may be useful to mitigate any potential disruptions to supply.
Colonial Pipeline, which is responsible for 45% of the East Coast fuel, says it may not be fully back online until the end of the week, which energy analysts say could potentially affect prices and supplies for millions of consumers.
At some point in 24 to 48 hours, that motorists are starting to see an uptick in the amount of stations that do not have fuel. It affects anyone that needs to drive a car to and from work, to and from school, to and from a store to get groceries.
Also potentially impacted, diesel for trucks that carry many of the nation's goods and jet fuel for the region's airports. And a FEMA document obtained by ABC News raises a possibility that the hack could affect COVID-19 transport. The FBI confirming today that a group of hackers based in Russia known as DarkSide developed the so-called ransomware used in the attack. The goal, to extort money.
There's evidence that the actor's ransomware is in Russia. They have some responsibility to deal with this.
While U.S. intelligence has yet to develop evidence to tie Putin's Kremlin to the attack, some analysts emphasize tonight it's important not to rule anything out.
U.S. intelligence has said that these kinds of criminal gangs in Eastern Europe and Russia are tied to Russian intelligence. So investigators are going to want to look for the fingerprints of Russian intelligence on this attack.
So let's get right to Pierre Thomas with us live tonight. And Pierre, this latest attack exposing once again just how vulnerable our infrastructure is to these cyber attacks in this country. We're still in the middle of another federal investigation that you've been reporting on here of that Russian government cyber attack. Some of the nation's top companies, federal agencies, they've been inside their computers for months. Where does that stand tonight?
David, it was 9 months before the U.S. government knew of that broad Russian attack known as Solar Winds, and they are still to this day trying to mitigate its impact. Here in Washington, officials across government and Congress are warning tonight that we have to do better, that this threat of hacking is growing, and it's clear we're not prepared. David.
All right, Pierre Thomas, live in Washington. Pierre, thank you. Here in New York City tonight, the manhunt now intensifying after a shooting in New York's Times Square. You will hear tonight from the NYPD officer who rushed to rescue a four-year-old girl. Cell phone video shows Officer Alyssa Vogel running with the child to a waiting ambulance. This evening, Officer Vogel's body cam video showing her immediate reaction when she heard a child was hurt and what she did to save that little girl's life and what the mayor of New York is now saying tonight. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, the mayor of New York City is praising the quick actions of the officers who responded to a shooting in Times Square. Body camera video showing NYPD officer Alyssa Vogel racing to aid a four-year-old hit by gunfire, using a tourniquet to help stop the bleeding from the girl's wounded leg.
As a mom, I think my motherly instincts just went to, you know, I need to help her.
Vogel then sprints to a waiting ambulance carrying the child as her family follows.
When there's a gunshot wound up on your thigh, there's arteries, and I didn't know if an artery was hit or not.
It was just before 5 p.m. on Saturday in the heart of Times Square when bullets started flying amid an argument between as many as four men. Three people nearby were shot, including the child.
Thank God the three people who were hit, it looks like they'll make a strong recovery.
Police are still looking for the shooting suspect, identified as Farrakhan Muhammad. Police say he was identified by his brother, who was the intended target. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos, live in Times Square for us again tonight. Steph, thank you. Overseas tonight, we are watching closely a massive escalation in the Middle East. Hamas firing more than 150 rockets into Israel for the first time in 7 years. And now the Israeli military responding with airstrikes, reportedly killing 20 people, including children, with growing concern tonight that this will only escalate further. Here's our chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, tonight.
Tonight, a dramatic escalation in violence. More than 150 rockets launched into Israel from Gaza by the militant group Hamas. And for the first time since the Gaza war in 2014, at least seven of the rockets targeting the holy city of Jerusalem. Air raid sirens wailing as Israelis took cover in their homes, a children's ballet class huddled in a classroom. Amazingly, no one was hurt. Most of the rockets stopped by Israel's defense system, the Iron Dome. But retaliation was swift and deadly. Israeli airstrikes hitting Gaza within hours. The Palestinians saying at least 20 people were killed, including three children. The Israelis saying only three militants were hit. The clashes in Jerusalem have been going on for weeks. Palestinians protesting restriction of movement and the planned eviction of some Palestinians from their homes. This morning, Israeli police armed with stun grenades, rubber bullets, and tear gas, facing off with rock-throwing Palestinian protesters at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, one of Islam's holiest sites.
And Martha Raddatz with us live from Washington tonight. Martha, of course, the real concern tonight is that this could escalate even further.
Exactly, David. The rocket attacks are continuing, and there are fears that the violence will escalate further, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warning that the militants crossed a red line today by trying to hit Jerusalem, and a heavy price will be paid. David?
All right, Martha Raddatz with us tonight. Thank you, Martha. We turn next here to the battle inside the Republican Party. That vote nearing, Congresswoman Liz Cheney, will she be ousted from her leadership post after standing up to former President Trump, saying Trump's claims the election was a lie are simply not true? And will the public know how Republicans voted? And late today, the Republican senator who said Representative Liz Cheney should not be silenced for speaking her mind. ABC's Rachel Scott up on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, the leader of the House Republicans officially urging them to vote Congresswoman Liz Cheney out of leadership. Kevin McCarthy writing, "It's clear that we need to make a change. Cheney is being forced out simply because she continues to stand up to former President Donald Trump, insisting the election was legitimate."
Elise, how's Elise doing?
Openly campaigning to replace her, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who voted to overturn the election, earning the endorsement of Trump himself. McCarthy doesn't defend Cheney's right to speak out, instead calling her a distraction.
Do you support Elise Stefanik for that job?
Yes, I do.
He insists the party can't focus on relitigating the past, but one of the few Republicans defending Cheney says Trump's the one who can't stop talking about the last election.
The one person continually bringing all this back up is not Liz Cheney, it's Donald Trump. He's the one that isn't unifying. But of course, he's out of power. He's a loser, but he's the one that a lot of people fear.
All right, Rachel Scott, live up on the Hill tonight. Rachel, late today, we learned Republican Senator Joni Ernst said that Cheney should not be punished for speaking her mind, telling reporters we shouldn't be trying to cancel voices, adding we should come together as Republicans. And Rachel, House Republicans will vote Wednesday. It'll be behind closed doors.
Yes, David, it's a secret ballot. Republicans will not have to take a stand in public. And Cheney faced the same vote back in February. She survived it, then with the support of Republican leader Kevin McCarthy. But this time he has made it clear he wants her out, too. David?
All right, Rachel Scott following it all. Rachel, thank you. When we come back on this Monday night, waiting for the results, a second test now following the Kentucky Derby after the winning horse Medina Spirit failed a drug test and remembering an American hero.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, a second test now after the bombshell test results after the Kentucky Derby. The winning horse, Medina Spirit, failing a post-race drug test. Now that second test, it could confirm or overturn the Derby victory. Trainer Bob Baffert insisting they've done nothing wrong. He's had five horses fail drug tests in a year. We're also tracking tonight's severe storms from Texas all the way over to the Carolinas. Heavy rain and thunderstorms expected through Wednesday. Up to 5 inches of rain in New Orleans. Possible flash flooding and tornadoes across several states. To the index, and we learned today that World War II hero Edgar Harrell has died. The last surviving Marine of the USS Indianapolis, torpedoed by Japan in 1945. He survived 4 days in shark-infested waters. 890 men escaped the sinking. Only 316 were rescued. Just five crew members are still alive. Edgar Harrell was 96. Finally tonight here, the Mother's Day hugs we all waited for. America Strong. Tonight, the images from across this country on Mother's Day signaling a new chapter. The in-person reunions, the long overdue hugs, families now vaccinated. In Dickinson, Texas, serviceman Jacob Porter surprising his mother, Pamela, after 13 months apart. In Southern Pines, North Carolina, U.S. Air Force Airman First Class Charles Smith III surprising his mother, Roxanne, at the local IHOP. It turns out they've been going there for Mother's Day breakfast ever since it opened, but she had no idea her son would be there.
Hi, David.
Tonight, that mom grateful.
It was a very emotional day, and it meant everything to me. It was a wonderful Mother's Day.
In Arlington, Massachusetts, Leland Stein with his 93-year-old mother, Sandra.
This is their first hug since before the pandemic.
It really has been 15 months since we got together.
15 long months. I know I'm speaking for all of the mothers who have had to be without their children during this time, and the sweet reunion that we all will have when we do see our families again.
And in Minneapolis tonight with her son Azra recording, his mom, Latondria Palfus-Jones, had no idea that Grandma Geraldine was coming. She sees her and runs to give her a hug. And tonight, mother and son right here with us.
When I saw her get out of the car, I was shocked and surprised and just everything. So my son, he did good.
He did. Our moms, our stepmoms, our grandmoms, we all waited a long time. I loved going home too. Good night.